Luke chapter 11, let me read from verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you dads. I hope you've had a wonderful morning so far. But I recognize it's not necessarily a day of celebration for everybody. Some of us haven't had great experience with dads. Some of our dads didn't treat us brilliantly. Some of us have lost our dads, and we're missing them. And some of us have, in truth, probably grown to resent the people who fathered us. Let me say this to you this morning. However you experienced your earthly father, your heavenly father always exceeds your earthly experience. However good it was, or however good you thought it was for others. Because some of us, we wish we'd grown up in different families. And if we'd been in a different situation and had a different dad, our lives might have looked differently. But even if you'd had the best dad in the world, even if it was the greatest ever, your heavenly father always exceeds the earthly example. Luke 11 and verse 13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father?" And Jesus takes this example of fathers to try and demonstrate something. But the reality is, there's a very straightforward observation. As people, we're not brilliant. Mark 10 and verse 17. Jesus was setting out on his journey, and a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. I think I've got a good dad. I'm a fan of my dad. I like him. It's positive, isn't it? And he's been good to me. Jesus' version is no one's good except God alone. I can't begin to fathom how good that is. My earthly experience of a father has been great. But it pales into insignificance compared to who he is. But it's not really what I want to say to you. I want to focus your attention on verses 11 to 13 of Luke chapter 11. Because Jesus takes the examples of fathers, and so that seemed appropriate because it was Father's Day, and I'm a type of linear thinker like that, you know, just slot that right in there. But he says, if your child asked you for fish, would you give him a snake? Or if he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? And then he talks about it as gifts. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father? Me and Jesus have got different definitions of gifts. Because I'm going to say those are basic issues of sustenance. Fish and eggs. There's a parallel version of this in Matthew chapter 7 where it's bread and fish. If my dad had wrapped up a fish for me for my birthday, I might not have thought he was so good. It's just food. The issue really is if your child asks for food, do you feed him? See, I've got a definition of gifts that's sort of, you know, the added extras to life that I don't really need, but someone else is willing to provide. Or stuff I might not be willing to purchase for myself, but, you know, if there was extra cash lying about, I might. It's the excess. Jesus is like, if your child asks for fish, would you give it a snake? Doesn't seem like excess to me. And so I want to ask this question this morning. Are you satisfied or are you hungry? Are you satisfied or are you hungry? Are you hungry this morning? We've spent some time thinking about the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. We've spent some time talking about some aspects of life and faith in my now 11 months here. I hope it has stirred some hunger in you. I hope that it has caused you to be hungry. And I read stuff like John 14, verse 12, where Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And I don't feel, in truth, like I've experienced that fully. And I'm hungry for it. Talked to you a couple of weeks ago about how power isn't the goal. But there is an experience that the apostles have in Acts that I haven't experienced, and I'm hungry for it. And I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. And I want the Holy Spirit to be guiding me into all truth. I want him to reveal things to me that Jesus could not say to his disciples. I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for some things of God. And I hope you are too. And I'm going to suggest to you that the issue of Luke chapter 11 is that you ask when you're hungry for your dad to feed you. Jesus stands up at the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7, and verse 37, and says, "On the last day, last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. 'Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.'" I want us to be a people who've got rivers of living water flowing from within us. Jesus says to the woman in John chapter 4, he's got water that you'll never thirst again, that it will well up inside of you like a spring of life. And if a father on earth, when their child asks for food, doesn't give them poisonous and venomous animals, how much more when you say to your Father in heaven, "I am hungry. I am hungry." Will he give his Spirit? Because the baptism in the Spirit is one thing, but being filled with the Spirit is an ongoing thing. Ephesians 5:18. "Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." You know it. It is a present imperative tense. Be being filled. I have a coriander plant. Sits on my windowsill. It is my third or fourth coriander plant since I have lived here. I've been here 11 months. And when I say it's my third or fourth, I haven't had a coriander plant the whole time I've been here. I occasionally, you know, think, oh, I need coriander for something. And I pick up one of those pots in the supermarket. It's already growing. It looks great. And I put it on my windowsill. And it dies. It droops, it goes brown. It's just... So I'm on plant number four. And I buy them sporadically at occasions where I think, oh, well, we'll give this a go again. I realize this time, I have never watered it. Or at least I've watered it sporadically. Oh, I haven't watered that for a week or so. Let's give that a go and see what happens. So I came in the other day and it was drooping again. And I watered it. And I was staggered when I got up the next morning. It was alive. But if I don't water it every single day, if it's not done every single, and I've tested it. I've played the game. I'm looking for maximum efficiency in my life. So if I don't have to water it every day, I wouldn't. But if I miss a day, it droops. It's not sufficient for it to be watered once. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God's poured out in Pentecost on the disciples. They are baptized in the Spirit. They have an experience where flames are surrounding their heads. They roll out into the street, speaking in tongues, and thousands get saved. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, people who were baptized in the Spirit at Pentecost are filled with the Spirit again. They're filled again. And the truth is, I wonder if sometimes we've just settled for less. If we're just living with malnourishment, if actually we've just learnt to live going, well, that's the way it is. I want to tell you this Father's Day. Your Heavenly Father is good enough to feed you if you ask Him. He's good enough to feed you if you ask Him. He will satisfy you if you ask Him. If your earthly parents were good enough to give you food when you said, I'm hungry. And if you're like me, you said it a lot. If when you asked for a fish, they didn't try and poison you or give you an animal to kill you, they weren't trying to be deceptive with it and go, if this scorpion that's white rolls up into a ball, it might look like an egg. And then it'll jump out and sting you and, you know, good luck with that, little person. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Have you asked him to satisfy your hunger recently? I can't help but wonder, what does it look like for a hungry group of people to cry out to their father? And for him to satisfy them? See, it's my intention to cook for you next week. And I hope you will leave full and happy. I hope you'll have had a great time. I'll do my best to make reasonable food. It'll be edible, I promise. But you won't stay full. I want to be being filled. And I need to go to the right source for that. I need to stop settling for hunger, when actually I've got a father who's willing to feed me. I've got a dad who's better than any earthly dad. And my earthly dad was willing to feed me. I didn't get to this shape because I didn't have a dad who was willing to feed me. I am not the size I am because my parents never gave me food. Is any man thirsty? That's Jesus' question. Let him come to me and drink. And to quote my dad, Christians aren't camels. Christians aren't camels. Camels have an ability to go for days without water. They build up a well of reserve and live off it for a while. Apparently it's got something to do with fatty deposits and also, listen, ask Louise, she's a biologist. That might be the loosest version of it, but hey. But even camels need to drink. They have to be replenished. And some of us have run dry. Or at least we're depleting our resources. Because it feels like it's been a long time. Can I urge you, ask him? Ask him. It's not meant to be like that. And your earthly Father is willing to feed you. So how much more? What do you need? We're going to take some time this morning. Not to rush. But to give you space to ask. Just to ask. Just to tell him, I'm hungry. I feel weary. Lord, it's been a while since I feel like I was filled. I've had moments where it's topped me up a little bit. But filled, it's been some time. I believe he satisfies hunger. I believe he responds to those who are thirsty. I believe he wants to give you rivers of living water flowing from within. And I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. So ask him. Tell him you're hungry.